Amen.
So that's an obscure reading, isn't it? About temple. The temple. Just a little bit of background on the book of Haggai. It's a prophetic book, a minor prophet. It's one of the 12 minor prophets. Or in Hebrew tradition, they call it the book of the 12. And by minor prophet, we don't mean smaller or shorter. It's just they did not say as many things as the major prophets, such as Jeremiah or Isaiah. And Haggai, specifically, it's the most accurately dated book of the Old Testament. I don't know if you noticed at the beginning of the reading, it gave all of the details of the dates. And because the Babylonians kept extremely good records about dates, and they based it on the astronomical data, you can actually go back using astronomy and pinpoint exactly when this book was written and exactly when these words were spoken. And they were spoken on the 17th of October, 520 BC. It's that accurate because the Babylonians were extremely good mathematicians and accurate record keepers. So we know from the first verse here exactly when this was spoken. Even more so than we do some of the New Testament books, which are reasonably easy to date. Anyway, who was Haggai? He's a prophet, and he was around at the time when the people of Israel were coming back from exile. Everyone in this room knows about King David and the kingdom of Israel, don't they? And how it had fallen into corruption over time. And then God had said, enough, I'm going to do a restart. You're going into exile. And both Judah and Israel were defeated by the Babylonians, and the elite of Israel were taken to Babylon. They creamed off all the best of the country and took them over to Babylon to work there and to settle there. And you know the motto this church has, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you. That was spoken to the exiles. God encouraged them, settle down in Babylon, you're there for the duration. You're going to be there 70 years. Well, in actual fact, 50 years into their exile, the Babylonian empire collapsed and the Persians took over, and a new emperor, Cyrus, took over, and he actually gave permission for a remnant of Israelites to go back to Israel to repopulate it because the land had fallen into ruin. The agricultural land had gone to thorns and whatever, and the cities were just ruined. So he allows an elite to go back, or a remnant, I should say. This is 50 years on. And you can read about that in the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. And again, they're very accurately dated, and they're written in the first person sometimes. We did this, we did that. And they're very historical books of the Bible. These events most certainly and definitely happened. There's no dispute. And into that period comes Haggai and Zechariah, two prophets. Anyway, 50 years after they've gone into exile, a remnant come back and they start, under the direction of Ezra and Nehemiah, to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. But they encounter opposition from the Samaritans that live there, the people of Samaria that live there, very hostile. They persecute them, put them off the work, intimidate them. And 18 years pass, and this is when the book of Haggai is coming into play, 18 years pass, and the temple still hasn't been built. because the people lost heart and they were intimidated and stopped working on it. And Haggai comes along to encourage them to start again, and he points out the facts that the people have built their own houses and got them comfortable, or have attempted to get them comfortable, and they've left the temple in ruins. And he appears on the scene to encourage them to restart the work. And so we come to our reading where we got a lot of mention of the temple, didn't we? And Haggai encourages them. And he mentions here, he said, to this remnant, who are now, we're getting close to 68 years since they went to Babylon. So most of the original people that went there would have died. But there might have been one or two grey hairs there that remembered Solomon's temple, which was very famous and talked about, and it was lavish with its gold decoration and beautiful colonnades and pillars and so on. And a couple of the grey hairs may have remembered that. And he says here in verse 3, "Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? Do you remember it? And you're looking at what you're building now, and you know it's nothing compared to the former temple. Is this not in your eyes as nothing?" And this new temple seemed to be very plain in comparison to the former temple of Solomon. A few of those old timers would have remembered the glory days of Solomon's temple. But this new work is nothing. It's nothing like it. Its size is it's small. In fact, they call it a house in verse 9. It's more than a temple. It's a bit, you know, small scale, isn't it? Things have been pared down a bit, haven't they? And this is the God of glory, isn't it? And I wonder if, you know, coming out of lockdown, many churches, things have been pared down. You know, activities have been changed. The way we go about things, the program has been pared down. Some of the old timers might say, "Well, we used to meet every Sunday three times, you know. We used to come out morning, afternoon, and evening. The former glory. Look at it now, just one meeting maybe." How, no matter how diminished the program looks, Haggai encourages the people. "I know it's a small house that you're building, but its glory is going to be greater than the former house." And why would that be? Verse 5 is the clue. "According to the word that I covenanted with you, people of Israel, when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remains among you. Do not fear." And it's the presence of God that is the important thing in that temple, not the bricks and the mortar or the stones that it was built with. And he's promising that my presence is with you. I'm still with you. Even though it's not the glory days of the past that you remember, this little house, this little chapel you're building, is going to have a greater glory in it than the old Solomon temple, the gold one. And he says, "In this place I will give my peace. I will give my shalom, blessing." It's not about the building. Maybe our program, our church program, is pared down to the former glory, like, and maybe a lot of churches are like that. But it's the things, the little things we're doing now that have God's presence in them, that an indicator that the glory is going to be greater. So maybe cafe church, home church, life group, the smaller pared down youth work, it may look small and unglorious, but in this place I will give my peace. Just rest assured, God gives it his blessing of peace. Do you remember when Jesus was raised from the dead and he appeared to the disciples? What was the first word he said? Shalom, my peace I give you. And then he says, you can read this in Luke 24, why do you have doubts or fear in your hearts? Don't doubt. In verse 4 here, Haggai says to Zerubbabel, the governor, he says to Joshua, the high priest, and he says to the people, all you people, be strong. So be strong. That is a word from God to you today. Be strong in this work. Be strong in this rebuild, this reset. Because he says, I'm going to shake the earth, all nations. And then the desire of all nations will come. This earth is being shaken right now in its institutions, its structures. But this little simple, tiny work of God in its very ordinary temple, the temple of our souls, something glorious being built that will outlast the shaking. And that's the presence of God, the Spirit of God within us. For I am with you, it says here. I am with you. Do not fear. My Spirit, verse 5, remains among you. Global shake-up. And then, just going to close now. Verse 9, he says, the glory of the latter temple, this simplistic temple, simpler program, simpler church structure, will be greater than the old way of doing it, where it had become a bit institutional, a bit showy, bells and whistles, skinny jeans, lights and smoke machines, all the complicated trapping, but God's paring it down. Why? Because he wants to show his glory, his glory, not only human glory. And what is glory? I'm going to unpack that word for you. It's reach, it's influence, it's attractiveness, the beauty of the simplicity of it, that you don't need a big program, you don't need a big structure, you don't need an institution, you don't need a building even. It's the simplicity of the kingdom of God within you. And it's hallmarked by love, not fancy words. By this men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That is the glory that people are hungry for, so hungry for. They're looking for a community where there's genuine love. It's not our orthodoxy, it's not our religiosity, it's not our program. It's not us all having our dotted I's and crossed T's. We read here, the important thing, no matter how simple the temple looks, is the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. Right priorities, and you can read that in the rest of the book of Haggai. It's that peace that is promised, that passes all understanding, all human understanding, that hallmarks us out as different. And it is the glory of the simplicity of it. A simpler temple. So what I'm encouraging you in closing now is, don't fear the more simplistic program, church life, way of doing stuff. There's glory in it. And there's presence in it. There's Holy Spirit presence in it. It's not you. losing the plot or becoming less enthusiastic. But God can build, and he, it seems, looking back at history, moves of God always start in somebody's living room or in a shed or in a barn, in a simple, humble place, or in a stable, in a manger. They always start in a simple place, and then men take over and build a big palace around it, and a cathedral or something, and complicate it, and fill it with bells and whistles and smoke and mirrors. The simplicity of it is its glory. Amen. And that was the message of Haggai. It was an encouragement, and I hope you're encouraged. Be strong. I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. And it's the glory of this new work is greater than before COVID. What was going on before COVID, I think, had come to its end of its natural life. And that's why we're seeing quite a few chapels that should have closed a long time ago, and we're just going through the motions. They finally had permission almost to close their doors and move on. That's why I think there's a new work of God in this new time, new period of time, which we should embrace with confidence and courage. Amen.